We've waited all week to hear a message from you. Speak to us like you've never spoken before. And give us hearts to receive what you're going to say. We thank you, Lord, for this worship service and for what has already happened and what's going to happen. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last week, I mentioned that there was a discussion regarding on television and also on radio about whether or not Pope John Paul would be in heaven. The minister that was asked the question and talked about it, I did not give you his name, but his name was Marty Minto. He's the pastor of the Turning Point Community Church in Pittsburgh. He also hosts a radio program, and because of his candid statement, he was dismissed from his radio program. In fact, the radio program said this to the pastor. He says that you are alienating the listeners of our program. And he says, I want you to function in this city in support of the entire church, and that means everybody, and not focus on denominational issues. And so that was the outcome. I shared that with you last week, and I wanted you to know the outcome of that. The sermon for today is Free at Last. Free at Last. Nancy was about to have a baby. Thomas, her husband, stood by her side as the pain increased until they left her almost breathless. They needed a doctor, but the doctor was on call 50 miles away, and in the late 1700s, it might have well had been 10,000 miles. And it was suggested by a neighbor that they could get a midwife, Mrs. Richards, who was some distance away also in the town of Lexington. And so as the night wore on, Nancy spoke less and less. And Thomas was concerned about the condition and the situation he found himself in. And he felt helpless and alone, so he did what a wise man would do. He decided to pray. And he says, Oh God, I cannot do this alone. I will lose them both unless you help me. And before he could finish the prayer, there was a loud rap on the door. He got up from his prayer and opened the door, and there stood a woman carrying a large leather bag. And he said, Are you Mrs. Richards? He said, No, sir, my name is Sarah Parsons. And I'm a midwife, and I understand that you need help to deliver a baby. And, of course, he beamed, and they got to work. And the baby was delivered, even though a difficult delivery. A baby boy was born. And so the midwife made the mother and the baby comfortable, cleaned them up, packed up her bags, and was about to leave. And as she was about to leave, Thomas, the husband, said, Let me pay you something. She says, I have no need of money, no need to pay me. She says, but there is one thing you can do for me. I would like for you to name the baby Abraham. And so Sarah packed her bags and went out the door and left. And as she, just a moment after she left, the wife said, Honey, you just can't let her go out there alone to the next town. Accompany her. And so Thomas ran out the door and looked for her and could not find her. She had disappeared into the thin air. And so goes the legend. The baby Abraham Lincoln was born. Born with the legend that he was brought on the wings of prayer by an angel. Lincoln, the modern day Moses, would grow up and be used to abolish slavery under the Emergency War Powers Act that he had. And September the 22nd, 1862, he signed the Emancipation Proclamation, which as a matter of law freed the slaves. Lincoln was later to have said that it was the voice of God crying, "Let my people go." And so today, countless millions can say with me, "Free at last. Free at last. Free at last." The Apostle John records one of the great chapters in the Scriptures. John chapter 8, if you would turn there with me, John chapter 8. It's a passage that unmasks the character of the devil. That's why I remember the passage so well. For it's John chapter 8 that identifies the devil as a murderer from the beginning. That there was no truth in him, and he is a liar and the father of lies. That's in chapter 8 of John. And then also in that chapter, after giving a picture of the devil, then it contrasts what God is like, what Jesus is like. And it said about Jesus in John chapter 8, "Before Abraham was, I am." I like that. One of the great scriptures in the Bible. "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus was the eternal God. And you'll find the connection in Exodus chapter 3 and verses 6 and 14. But there's a passage there that's easy to overlook. And it's John chapter 8 and verse 30. And I want to turn your attentions there. For it says in chapter 3, verses 31, "As he spoke these words, many believed in him." And in verse 31, "Then Jesus said, oh, who believed him?" He said these words, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the what, everybody? The what? The truth. The truth shall do what? It'll make you free." One of the great passages in the Scriptures. And Jesus goes on to say, Jesus answered them, and they said to him, "Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you what? Free, you shall be what? Free indeed. Free at last. Free at last." You know that word free? I don't really we understand that word. You see, in the Roman world where Jesus lived, freedom was cherished. If you were a prisoner in his time, they figured you were doomed anyway. And so they would dress you in skins of animals and send you out on the Colosseum floor, and then they would set the wild animals on you. Then they would use cadavers, the doctors would use the cadavers to learn internal anatomy. Slaves had to fight for their lives in the arena, in the Colosseum, as gladiators. The person who fought with outstanding bravery and who won, they might gain their approval or their release because of the approval of the crowd. If you fought with only distinction and you were wounded, they would give you medical attention and send you back in again. And if by chance, as a prisoner, you survived all the contests in the arena, in the Colosseum, for 3 years. Then you were released into slavery. Then, after 2 years, when your master approved, then he might let you go. Can you see how precious freedom would be in a climate like that? But I don't think that's the word free. When I was growing up, I couldn't wait out on my own. I had loved parents. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You had the same feeling when you were growing up. I wanted to be free. Come in when I wanted to come in. I wanted to go when I wanted to go. I wanted to stay up and watch TV as long as I could. I wanted to come in when the light, the sun came up. I wanted to be free. I wanted to sleep as long as you could sleep. Get up whenever I wanted to. And so, by the time I got to that age, here comes the draft. About to be drafted, so I joined the Air Force. And folks, it's almost been all up to be. When I joined the military, someone else has been telling me what to do for the past 40 years. You see, because they're free. The war was called Iraqi freedom. And we were freedom is simple. Cost connected with free, right? You can have the most important job in all the world. You can be the president of the United States and be free in the freest country in the land, and you cannot go to the mall. You cannot go to the fast food place. You cannot go walk the street like the average citizen. You could be Joseph Ratzinger 1 hour before he was elected Pope Benedict XVI. He could walk down in the streets of Rome. He could be asked directions and not be noticed by anyone. But now, 1 hour later, after they pronounce him Pope Benedict XVI, he will never, ever walk down the street alone again for the rest of his life. You're free, but you're not really free. There's that paradox of being free. But not only is there a paradox to being free, but there's a certain discipline connected with being free. You know, when I talked about wanting to be on my own, you know what I found out? When you're on your own, you still have to get up every day and put food on the table. That's the discipline that it takes. Even for the homeless, they have to go down and look for food every day. If you're a student and you go to school, you got to study when you don't feel like studying. You have to prepare for the assignments. You have to take the exams in order to receive in high school your diploma, in college a degree. There's a with being free. We honor and admire the athletes, the pro athletes. An athlete who is unwilling to discipline his or her body with exercise is not free to excel on the field of battle. It takes discipline. And the paradox of being free and the discipline connected with being free applies to everything in our lives. If you're a musician, and I take it for granted, and I want to apologize again, Brenda, when you get on the piano and we just ask you to play something, just open the book, play hymn number 1, hymn number 276. We just do that routinely. We don't recognize that years ago when my wife was nowhere around, we were nowhere around each other, that she had to get on the piano and practice. Discipline. And it doesn't matter what you do. In business, Joe, I know you're in business, you got to be disciplined. And if you carpentry or do something, trades with your hand, you have to be disciplined. Mom and dad, you have to be disciplined. Sports player, you have to be disciplined. Going back to the passage, I said there's a paradox and there's a discipline connected with being free. But we remember what was said in that passage, John chapter 8. I think of Jesus as speaking to new believers. It said those who believe. So I'm going to call them new believers. They said, we were never in bondage to anyone. But Jesus was not talking about freedom, the freedom that we often think about, the freedom that I love for being a part of this great country. Amen? Don't you love what we have being a part of this great country? The freedoms that we enjoy? Well, Jesus understood that, but he wasn't talking about that. Sometimes I'm afraid that we take some of those kinds of freedoms and put them above the most important thing that we need to be free. And that is, we need to be free from the slavery of sin. That's what Jesus was talking about. And that is the most important thing to be free from. Jesus was talking about the freedom of godliness. Freedom from the slavery of sin. Sin is something that keeps us in bondage. The freedom of godliness allows us to do what God wants us to do. The freedom of godliness gives us freedom from self-centeredness and insensitivity. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That passage in Romans 3 and verse 23 is a universal declaration of the reality and the bondage of sin. The truth is that no matter how noble our aspirations, no matter what our convictions, however his or her attempts to do right, when we deal honestly with ourselves, we discover that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Jesus teaches that we are slaves to sin. And the only answer, I believe, is found in him. Now, we might call Christianity gloomy and stern when it preaches the corruption of man's heart. But our ignorance of sin and its effect causes us to repeat the empty boasts that the new believers repeated. I'm not bondage to any man. And sadly, a large percentage of people today have never really opened their eyes to the undeniable truth that sin has dominion over them. That's why Jesus is everything for us. He wants us to be free from the slavery of sin. And I believe that it is a tragedy for us to abide in Christ and not be free from the slavery of sin. I believe it's a tragedy for us to abide in Christ and still have habits that cannot be broken. Habitual. Now, we all sin. I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about habitual. I'm talking about things that keep us in slavery. I believe it's a tragedy for us not to finally be free. Sometimes we keep those things that sometimes can hold us in slavery in the name of being free. some of the issues in our church. And I really understand that. I'm going to say something sensitive, but I believe it's true. Some of the issues that we wrestle with as Seventh-day Adventist Christians. Are you with me? Say amen if you're awake. Some of the issues that we wrestle with is because of our view of freedom. You see, we long ago, our church took a stand on outward adornment. But we wrestle with that today. And I wonder, why do we wrestle with that so? You know why? Because there's a certain mindset that we have, is that there's some things you can't tell me what to do. Come on now, you know I'm telling the truth. It's a freedom issue. I understand that because, you know, I'm like that. There's some things I don't want you to tell me what to do, and I don't want you to tell me where to go. So, yeah, see, I'm not going to play the holy game in front of you. I really try and be transparent. We play that, and I'm like that. There's some things I do not want you to tell me, even I know it's wrong. And that's one of them. We wrestle with that. But there's some things, and I can't speak for you. That's not, some things will keep us in slavery. Thanks, Dad. I know I got one amen on that. I'm just trying to be real with you. I think those are issues that we wrestle with. And I do believe that. I can take that a little step. I can take that a step further. I believe, and I believe very strongly, there's some things you can't say to individuals when you have not formed a relationship with them. Even though they're wrong. I didn't say that in the first service, but the Lord told me to say that this time. There's some things you can't say. And people do that. They think they have some kind of license to tell you anything they want to tell you. That is not good Christianity. There are things that I can tell my wife because we've been married. We've been married 35 years, June the 7th, that you can't tell her. Are you with me? Well, I'm so glad the dress code has changed. When I came into this church, when the dresses was up kind of high, it was a mess. Come on, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but some of you know what I'm talking about. Ooh, that was a sermon every Sabbath on that. Am I right? Come on, I'm getting in real trouble, but that's okay. I'm free. Let me tell you something about sin, why Jesus talked about this and why it was important to him. Sin chokes the conscience. And interesting that I find the people of God, I mean literally tortured by some of the smallest things. That no, if you said some of the things and told that to another church, they'd laugh at you. They wouldn't know what you're talking about. But not us. We drive ourselves crazy. You know I'm telling the truth. This ought to get me in real trouble here, what I'm getting ready to say. When I first joined the Adventist church, if you looked like you put anything that had any color on your face, oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. You were on your way to hell. Some of you still believe that. And that's okay. If you respond to that and the Lord directs you, I'm not critical of you for that. But I'm telling you, we have driven ourselves crazy. But another person who is a murderer, I mean literally has taken lives, will take another and then stand up in court with a suit on next to a lawyer and say, I didn't do anything wrong. Why is that? I really think the first example is really, I really believe it's good people, which I believe we are, really wanting to do everything that God says do. I really think their hearts are right and they mean well. But don't drive yourself crazy over a lot of this stuff. Are you with me? Oh, I know I'm in deep trouble, but I think you know what I'm talking about. But also what I want to say, because this whole notion of being free is misunderstood. And they had a lady on television. Some of you may have seen it. Or the show was talking about. This lady made up that her husband was in Iraq. And that she was going to boot camp, called up the radio station, told them all this stuff, that she was going to boot camp and her husband was in Iraq. She did this for 6 months. And then called the radio station back and said, my husband has been killed in Iraq. Her husband was right there with her at the house. She was not in the army. She made that up and kept it going. She was on a cell phone calling the radio. And everybody in town felt so sorry for her. So they asked for the Social Security. Some of you seen it. You know what I'm still I'm talking about. They asked for the Social Security number of her dead husband. And she gave him a Social Security number and found out it was a dead lady. It wasn't her husband at all. That's how it was unmasked. But you know what got me as I watched that? She didn't even feel that bad, far as I was concerned. And if we go to one place and we eat something that we think, we go nuts. Oh, help me. Am I right? And it lets me know sometimes we're not free like we ought to be free. I believe. And I will do this periodically as pastor here at this church. There are some things, and it's different for every person. There's some things that hold you captive, that you are a slave to, that you need, you know it, you need it out of your life. I've never been in any place where there wasn't somebody in the congregation had a problem with smoking. And I'm not talking about, I don't know of anybody I'm not talking about, but I've never been any place where somebody didn't have a problem with it, where they needed rescuing, they needed victory. Amen? I've never been a place where somebody wasn't fooling around. They were married. Are you with? I don't know of anything. I know you're feeling uncomfortable. It's not my intent to do that. Folk, it is for us to finally get victory. How long can you go on year after year carrying those things and naming the name of Jesus? It's an abomination. It's time for it to stop. Amen. Somebody's fooling around and you're married. You don't have no business fooling around. It's time for it to stop. Somebody, it doesn't matter where you, no matter where you at, you can be in an audience full of ministers. Somebody's addicted to pornography. Those kind of things you can almost guarantee. And that's not something that I expect somebody to stand up and tell people that they're doing those things. They need victory over. Jesus said, "You're not free because you are a slave to sin," and the only way, okay, give me the answer. You can go, give me the answer, Pastor. How can we get the victory? Well, the only way that we can get the victory is to understand the depths of our own need. And when we understand the depths of our need, there's nothing less than the Christ who died for us that will emancipate from that. You can try all these other kinds of things, but they will not work. Jesus is the only answer for the sin problem. And we must cling, grab a hold of the cross. I'm talking about really grab a hold of the cross. And let it do something inside of us through Jesus Christ. Free does not mean easy. I'll tell you that. I can't wait till I retire. I'm telling you. It's not about Fallbrook, and it's nothing about, I can't wait till I retire. But they tell me that sometimes you can be busier when you retire when you're working. Am I right? The retired people have told me that. But I'm lucky. I can sleep till 12. You say, well, you can do that now. Nobody keeps time on you, Pastor. You can do that now. Well, you don't have to worry. That's not an issue. I have people sometimes call 7:30, 8 o'clock, rather I'm up. My wife gets up at 4:30 and 5 every morning, so I'm up. When I was in the military and I had assignments was with the, they are the construction workers of the Navy. I was their chaplain. We were running at 5 o'clock. We were starting to run. So when I say I long to retire, I mean that. Because there's a discipline, there's a paradox connected with freedom. And I found that this Christian journey is not an easy journey. But it's a journey that we all need in Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in these last days. The issue of freedom is going to come full circle, and it's going to meet us where we are. And we're going to need more than we have right now in order to be able to make it in what's coming upon us and our freedom. Let me tell you a story as I conclude. A story comes from in 1999. Bren, I want you to come to the piano and play something softly, because in a minute I'm going to ask you to do something. It comes from Temple University in Philadelphia, and I know Temple University well because I spent my freshman year there at Temple University in Philadelphia. The student is Michael Marcatti, and there he learned of an upcoming university production of Corpus Christi, or that they were putting on, but this particular play depicted Christ as a homosexual. So Marcatti, being a devout Christian, complained to the university president, and he decided to post flyers around the campus to let people know about what they were about to see. And so the president, being afraid of the outcome and the possible conflict, told Marcatti to come see me, and this is what I'll do for you. I'll give you 2 nights, and you can bring in Christian groups, traditional value kinds of Christianity. You can bring in speakers, choirs, and whatever. But just before the performance, Marcavage was told that he couldn't have the program because of the cost. And so he was so disturbed by that he went to the bathroom, he locked the door, and went in there to pray. And when he went in to pray, they called the vice president of campus security. They got him out of the bathroom, they knocked him on the floor, they handcuffed him, and took him to the emergency crisis center at Temple University Hospital. Him as a psychiatric patient. Y'all didn't get that. And the only reason he got out because the doctors could not find anything wrong with him. Still in the courts. And so there's been no outcome of that. In about an hour and a half, there's going to be a funeral here in California of a young lady, 28. Uzika, who died in Baghdad. Some of you may have heard the story. Marla was against the war, but she was for people. And so when they were doing the count of the dead in Afghanistan, she went to be a part of that and decided that she wanted to go not only to Afghanistan, but to Baghdad. So she went to Baghdad after convincing a state senator that they needed to keep proper account of not only the U.S., but those in Baghdad that were dying. Families were affected by this. And she, just on her own, managed to convince Congress to come up with $22 million to count Iraqi families and all of the difficulties that they were having. And after investigating her final family, where a bus was blown up, family had to throw the baby out of the bus for the baby to survive. Her and her driver was in a convoy with some other U.S. vehicles. And you can just about give the end of the story. A terrorist came by and blew them up. 28 years old, in her little French braids, giving her life for others. Well, folk, Jesus gave his life for you and me. Did you hear that? God himself gave his life for you and me, that we might be free. Once and for all, free. Can't you just take a deep sigh and say, free at last? Why do we come so heavily burdened to church when Jesus has set us free? And you know what the Bible says? It says the truth shall set you free. Oh, we ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth, because God has given to this church the truth. And the truth ought to set you free. Are you free? You're not free if you're a slave to sin. If there's something that's holding you down, it's time right now. Every now and then we're going to do this. We're just going to stand on our feet and say, Jesus, take it away. Are you with me? Jesus, take it away. Whatever it is that's holding me back, that's keeping me a slave to sin, I want to be free. Now, I stood up at the first service, and I'm standing again. Anybody want to stand with me and say, Jesus, take it away? Thank you. I see. We are standing. There's something that's holding us back. If it's nothing more than your temper, something. But today, we want to be rid of it. Why? Not because I'm so powerful. It's because to set his church free. Amen. May God give you his power through the Holy Spirit. That whatever life that's holding you back, that from this day forward, you would go forward with Jesus and the truth to set us free. Do you believe that? Do you believe it can be done? Can Jesus handle that? Yes, he can. He can. Dad, pray. Come and pray for him. Been on this journey a lot longer than I have. Probably could speak to the point. I'm going to ask you to pray for us, Dad, that the Lord would set us free.
Our loving Heavenly Father, Thou who seest all and knoweth all, Thou to see each one of us who have a need. We know those of us who are hiding our needs. We present ourselves to Thee in the name of Thy Son who gave His life for us, who suffered, who died, who was spit upon, that we through Him could have freedom from anything in this world that is unlike Thee. Look upon each of us this morning, this day, and grant that we will be honest with ourselves, for we cannot hide anything from Thee. So help us. Overshadow us with Thy Holy Spirit. Give us power to confess our needs, for Thou dost already know. We pray that this church, under the direction and instruction and power of the Holy Spirit, may move forward in victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We know that Thou dost know, and we confess this morning whatever it is in our lives that are unlike Thee, and grant that we may leave this building today knowing that we have made the confession, we have claimed the promise, and we can walk with Thee from day to day. Bless the entire church, even the babies. Bless us all and keep us all and help us all. And when Jesus comes, save us all. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. And for His sake we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may. Are we still friends? You may not want to say happy birthday to me after that, huh?